guys are ridiculous. These guys are ridiculous.
Now, how about them damn Celtics?
We are back with another episode of How About Them Celtics. Sam and I are here recording after Celtics-Knicks on Thursday night. If you're watching on YouTube, we're a little scuffed right now because my camera stopped working. So the camera's on my phone. My audio is going through my mic, which is my computer, so it's good audio. And when you have a recording software up on your phone, you can't fully mute it. So you could hopefully you can't faintly hear the us coming through the phone as well. Do you hear double audio, Sam?
No, you sound clean to me.
Perfect. In that case, we are fine. But yeah, we're here. Celtics lose to the Knicks. We're down by 30 at one point in this game. Fourth quarter guys ended up making a little bit of a run, cut it down to 9. They actually kind of scared the Knicks a little bit at the end of the game, which was hilarious. This was the Celtics just completely sleepwalked through the first half of the game. The Knicks did not. And Knicks got 17 offensive rebounds. Jalen Brunson absolutely torched them for 39 points. And the Celtics, I mean, they didn't really try. They didn't really care, as has been the case for the past few games, which it doesn't exactly leave a great product to watch on the court, but whatever. I don't know. Yeah, I'll let you go. I know you're mad because you don't like the Knicks, so fair enough.
Should have sat everybody. Plain and simple. Should have sat everybody. If you weren't going to try, don't play. You know why? Now that you played, they can have a circle jerk. If nobody plays, no circle jerk. You know how annoying a Knicks circle jerk is? It's the worst of all the circle jerks. It's the worst. You let Jalen Brunson have a billion points. You didn't get any rebounds. This game was remarkably close for a while, despite you not getting any rebounds, because you weren't missing threes. Then you missed all the threes. Nobody on the Celtics that, while I watched the game, was any good. I turned it off in the fourth quarter to watch the G League game, and they're pathetic, too. Just if you were the Celtics today, no matter where you're from, terrible, disappointing, shameful.
It's a tough one.
Noah got mad just at me for the main Celtics comment, but yeah, I had to go full hater mode. I did.
Just in case you're Andrew listening to this, I want to make it perfectly clear, and I would like to start here before Sam gets mad at the Celtics more, which rightfully so. They sucked. They're bad. There's no defending the fact that they're bad. The Celtics went through spurts in this game where they actually like tried for a couple possessions and they did well. They didn't try. Keith Smith tweeted this out and somebody pointed out when we were upstairs. I don't think the Celtics ran a single offensive set the entire night. They didn't run anything. They did nothing. They just kind of went through the motions. They played iso ball and they played five out. They just went from there. There were a couple of ball movement passes, but that just came from the Celtics getting a good drive. There was no like they didn't set anything up. There was nothing. They just kind of played. And defensively, they stunk. They didn't close out on anything. They weren't trying on the glass. They didn't even play a lick.
Disgusting act.
It was horrible. They shouldn't have played. And then shocker, when the bench guys who actually care about playing come in, they tried. Now, I don't know how much of that decision was Joe and the team versus maybe national TV saying play the guys.
Like, I hate national how much, TV.
Yeah, I don't disagree.
They gave me Brian Anderson 2 games in a row with no alternative. Exclusive rights. You cannot give me Brian Anderson. You just can't.
It's a tough one. It's a tough one to have to deal with. Yeah, it's just, I don't know. I said this at the very start of the game, even before it went to like complete shit. Like, it's really hard for me to take anything away from these games late in the season because you can like so painfully clear. Like, when it was 24-22, I tweeted out the Celtics are sleepwalking through this game and somehow they're down 2. Then I quote tweeted and said, psych, because they were no longer down 2. But like, it was painfully clear from the very start of the game that the Celtics were not playing to the full capabilities that they're able to. And it's frustrating. It makes for a bad product. Joe Mazzulla talked about stuff after the game. I'm going to be writing an article for Celtics blog, which you guys can go read. It's maybe up. It's probably not up if you're listening to this right when this comes out, but it'll be out eventually. He said the quiet part out loud. Joe Mazzulla was talking about, you know, matching the intensity, all that stuff. He said, I didn't like, and Gary Washburn, I think it was, asked him, like, did you like the effort in the first half? Or, like, why'd you dislike? He goes, I did not like the effort in the first half. But like you said, it's just a tough spot to be in. We ran into two teams that were highly, highly desperate. And as much as we'd like to simulate that, we're just not in that situation. Like, he literally said, yeah, they're fighting for something. We are not. Like, it's hard for us to simulate the desperacy and the need to win that they clearly have and are playing with. Because we don't have it. And so it's the whole, I forget if it was Joe or Ime or so, who said it a couple years ago. Like, when you have one team who is like fighting and scrapping and clawing for everything to get, while the other one is like just kind of doing whatever, going through the motions, like, yeah, no shit. Like, if you don't have a purpose, it's going to be hard to match a team that is playing with the clear purpose that the Bucks and Knicks are playing with. Because, I mean, as much as I don't think Joe Mazzulla meant it in a nasty way, he's basically saying, yeah, because they're fucking stuck in a playoff race and we've dominated the whole season. You know what I'm saying? Like, it sucks to watch. It's a terrible product. It's not fun. I'm not like defending the way the Celtics play. They play like shit. But like, you get it from the perspective of, it's hard to simulate the same energy intensity that the Knicks and Bucks are playing with, because they have to play with that. And the Celtics, I guess, earned the right not to have to do that, even though they should have just let the other guys play the whole game.
Yeah. Let the other guys play. Because now you gave everybody something to be happy about. You gave them confidence. I don't like that. I didn't like when they did it against Atlanta. The Milwaukee game was whatever, because neither of the big guys played, so you can always like kind of fall back on that. But this game, they played everybody for whatever reason and then didn't fucking try. The offensive rebounds were unbelievably putrid to watch.
Yeah.
They did everything they could to give this Knicks this game. The first half was garbage. The middle quarters were extremely garbage. Is Jaylen Brown okay? He sucks. He's sucked for a while too. It's not just today.
He's just been ever since. And this isn't like me just saying, like using an excuse. It truly does feel like the demarcation line. Like, ever since they clinched, it just feels like he's been not trying. Like, and I'm not like defending that. I just truly think that is when the cutoff was.
It's not like a Jaylen is. Well, he is turning the ball over, and I think he doesn't look good with the basketball, but also, like...
He's just putting his head down. He's just putting his head down the whole time, and he's not giving effort. Yeah.
Like, you can play with no effort, but shots can still go in. You know? Like...
Yeah.
That's muscle memory. When the muscle memory ain't working, I don't know what to tell you. You know, you turn the ball over, you make dumb decisions, that's a lack of focus, but you got to put the ball in the basket, brother. That's your job.
I agree, but I also do think there is some truth, and it's maybe, like, 30%, 40% of it. Like, I'm not saying this is like the biggest problem, but I do think there is some truth to, when you are playing full speed in a rhythm the way you've played all season, like, shots are more likely to go in because you'll be playing in a rhythm. And I don't think the Celtics have played in anything close to a rhythm since the Thunder game. And so I think that definitely could be a part of it, but you're right. The entire Celtics team is shot like shit lately. I mean, you look at the box score, it says 38%, but 1 of 5 from Jaylen Brown, 1 of 7 from Tatum, 1 of 4 for Jrue Holiday. Like, those three guys need to hit shots, and they just didn't do it. Derek White, 0-3
as well.
The
extension.
Not going to happen.
Both of them?
Don't do that.
Brown and Holiday? Is it too late? Is Zach LaVine available?
That's too far for you. That's I don't even think you're allowed to make that joke. That's a
listen,
tech.
Man. How do you not rebound? I don't know. I know it's
effort.
It's all effort.
And I will say,
but I care today, and I'm mad as hell that they didn't care.
They don't care about you, bro. Little bro.
If they weren't gonna care, they just shouldn't have played. Like, I said this to you before the game. I said this to Andrew Claudio on the Knicks podcast. If I'm the Celtics, I'm being the wrestling villain. I'm not going to play anybody. You're going to have to make it to the conference finals if you want my best. Like, you got to earn this. And instead, they just tried everyone out there and then was like, hey, you want to feel good about yourselves? Go ahead.
My speculation is they sort of threw the NBA a bone and played everybody in this one so they could just not play anybody for the rest of the season. Like, the last two games.
Well, I'm sure the NBA would be devastated if nobody tuned in to see them play the Hornets and Wizards.
Well, exactly. They were like,
Adam Silver would be losing his eyebrow.
Like, national TV, they're like, oh, national TV, fine, we'll do this. But then no one's going to play these games. So, like, I do think, like, there is a small part of me that believes this was their, like, last hoorah. Or whatever the opposite of hoorah is. Jaylen Brown talked about it after the game as well. Jaylen Brown after the game said, we just got out tough the last two games. We haven't played to our standard. We're going to nip that in the bud. Said, you know, we ain't got no choice. We got to nip the low intensity play. I put that in brackets because that's what he was talking about. Play and the but now teams getting 20 or more shots in the glass. We got to rebound. We got to play more tough. We're going to get the job done. We're going to have some tough practices and we're going to be ready. And Kristaps Porzingis also had a quote, which I wasn't in the locker room, so I didn't hear, but I saw it on Twitter. And he was like, I guarantee you, like effectively saying, like, I guarantee we'll be fine for the playoffs. Like he said, we are going to show up for the playoffs. Don't worry about that. And I believe that. Like this isn't like. I know why you're mad, and I understand why you're mad, and people mad after the Celtics lose. Like, it's going to happen. The Celtics lose games. They've set themselves to a standard where if they lose a game, they're going to have people who are being upset. But, like, I don't get the people who are saying, oh, this is bad habits carry over in the playoffs. Like, this isn't going to – like, that doesn't make sense to me. We're talking about a team where the entire narrative all season has been their ability to play a game and put it in the past. Play a game, put it in the past. Play win or loss, put it in the past, put it in the past, put it in the past. This is the fourth time they've lost two in a row all season, right? And I think we're at a point in the year where the last stretch of games after they clinched the best seed in the NBA needed to be treated as one collective game in the sense of they're going to play how they play these games, and then they're going to put it in the past because those games don't matter anymore. And then they know what matters. That is what they've done all season. So expecting them to be completely abandoned that principle once the postseason comes around because of four meaningless games in April, that doesn't make any sense to me. And I couldn't think – I think that's further – like the furthest thing from what's actually going to happen. Like I truly don't understand that concept that people believe, like, oh, the Celtics, they're crumbling now. No, like you can very – like. Painfully clearly see the difference of the Celtics care and are trying to win, and the Celtics are just going through the motions. And they went through the motions against the Knicks, and they got their ass kicked, rightfully so.
Prize Picks is America's number one fantasy sports app with more than 3 million members. It is the easiest and most exciting way to get in on the action while you watch your favorite sports and players. You just pick more or less on two or more player stats and watch all the winnings roll in. You can now win up to 100 times your money on Prize Picks with as little as 4 correct picks. You can turn $10 into $1,000 with basketball, hockey, college basketball entries today on Prize Picks, America's number one fantasy sports app. One of our favorite picks here at the How About Them Celtics podcast is the Jrue Holiday blocks. It's usually 0.5. He just needs more than 0.5 blocks. That means one Jrue Holiday block. And that pick is in the bag. Prize Picks is really simple to play. I can make my picks and submit my entry in less than 60 seconds. Download the app today and use code CLNS for a first deposit match up to $100. Again, download the app today and use code CLNS for a first deposit match up to $100. Pick more, pick less. It's that easy.
Yeah, I don't feel the this is going to bleed into the playoffs thing either. I don't. I'm not. I think some of it could bleed over, but not like the mentality thing. I don't really think you're going to show up to the Garden for the game one of a playoff series and then just be like, oh, yeah, whatever. I think like there are trends that could be concerning. Like, I would like to see Jaylen Brown not suck in a playoff series to start off. I would like to see the Celtics hit the glass hard, which I think could be a mindset thing. So, you know, might not bleed over from this game, but they haven't been great against physical teams this year. I would like to see Derek White come back to life a bit. I don't think he's been all that great over the last X amount of weeks.
Well, I think part of that
role players need to step up and be more consistent. And we've seen some of that recently. So it's not the end of the world. I'm excited to see some of these lower minute guys get some extra burn, hopefully tomorrow and also on Sunday. Yeah. Because I mean, I'm kind of sick of watching the starters not care.
I feel like the Derek White thing is a product of them not playing the right offense, because Derek White thrives so much when they are playing the running plays, the running pick and roll. They're going through the things that have made them such a successful offense this year. When they're just playing drive and kick, you know, half ass, gonna drive, maybe kick it, maybe taking contested shot, like, he's just not gonna have the ball. Because as much, and this sounds like I'm just defending Derek White to the death, but I feel like, sure, truly believe this because of how good he's been. Like, that's just not how he plays. Like, you're almost never gonna see Derek White just dribble into nothing and do nothing with the ball, because that's not how he plays. And so when the Celtics offense dissolves into that, into bad habits, like, as like stupid as it sounds, like, he just doesn't have those bad habits, so he's not going to do it, and so you're not going to see the impact that he makes on the game. So I think once the Celtics go back to playing good offense and playing in the way they played all season, you're going to see Derek White be back in a rhythm. As far as defensively, like, I know Jared Weiss, or no, I forget who said this. Maybe he's on Twitter. There's like no closeouts. Like there's nothing. And then the worst part to me.
Oh, they did not care on defense.
No, they didn't care
today.
They didn't care at all. And then the craziest part to me is I know they were trying stuff, and I do think this could work in a playoff series if they do it correctly. I tweeted about it. These motherfuckers were like trying so desperately to make the let Jalen Brunson get past you and send him into drop coverage. Motherfucker, he was just making every single mid-range shot in the lane. Like it wasn't working. It never worked one single time. They played go over the screen. They played chase the ball handler, and they just chased him into non-existent people in the paint. Like how many times do you have to see it to realize it doesn't work? I know you're testing stuff, and I know you're like trying to bleed them into help, but like stop.
With that, you're gonna play him into help, which is probably Porzingis. And then give up an offensive rebound because Porzingis is having to come out and close out on a mid-range. And I mean, Jalen Brunson is more than happy to take the pull-up shots. That's what he's done all season. He's been excellent at it. So, I mean, you're getting killed on the glass. Stop enabling it. Like, that is a schematic thing that you can do to stop. And I know it's part of the trying stuff, but that's part of the reason why the offensive rebounding was so bad.
I agree, but my thing is, if you're going to do it, then you need the trailing defender to get on the fucking glass, and they just weren't doing that. They were just stopping. They were just stopping. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, I think that can be a successful thing, but they need that in the playoffs for them to, like, continue on with what they're doing and get in the paint. And for what it's worth, the offensive rebounding things has only really been a thing in the past few weeks against the Hawks and the Knicks, two teams who's, like Clint Capella and Isaiah Hartenstein and Mitchell Robinson, like that's why they're in the league. But like that is why they are in the NBA. And I'm not saying like it won't happen if they play the Knicks in a playoff series. Like that is something they will need to overcome and be better at. But I don't want to sit here and act like that's been a problem for them the whole season. Like it has been a very, I would say, niche issue against certain teams who thrive in that. And the Celtics just didn't match the energy, which they will need to do in the playoffs. But I don't think that's a by and large, like massive, huge problem for them. Across general games. I know you did the whole thing on like end of games, and I do think it is important in those spots, and they haven't been as good there. But in general, like I don't think that has been a massive thing like throughout the course of entire games.
Yeah, I mean, it does pop up when you need to get stops at the end of a game, so it is annoying. But I guess you can't really point to a ton of games that they lost because of offensive rebounds. It's just, I think Greeny had the tweet about this a little while back. It's like, the Celtics don't lose a lot of games, and when they lose games, it tends to come in the same way, and that's just kind of what happens when you're pretty good and you only lose once in a while. Like, you're going to have similarities in your losses. There are only certain things that lead to you losing games. I mean, today was a shit show. It was disgusting to watch. Turned it off after three quarters, and then watched Maine gets the doors blown off them, too. So, game three on Monday of that. I know people in our comments are excited about the G League team, and I'm excited too because now they can actually suit up for these last couple Celtics regular season games, even though, so tomorrow they'll be on a back-to-back if they even are available to play. Sunday they will be on the first leg of a back-to-back. I mean, what the fuck?
I will say, OKC kind of frauds. I don't know if you saw this.
I didn't see this, but go
on. They called down a roster player.
Oh, I did see this
in the first game.
I almost tweeted and I was almost like, they're just pulling out all the stops.
Fraudulent. It's objectively fraudulent. He's only played in 10 G League regular season games this year, and they brought him down.
Yeah. That like reminds me of when I used to play Boys and Girls Club Rec League growing up, there was they did equal minutes for everybody. So there was the A team and the B team. And the A team would be either like the older kids in your division, if it was like sixth or eighth grade or whatever. So it'd be like eighth graders. And then the younger kids would play on the B team. That way everyone's playing against their own skill level. Once in a while, you get a team that would swing down an A team player to play on the B team to kind of level the playing field. That's what the OKC Blue did against the Maine Celtics.
I was saying the Celtics need to bring down a Springer or Pritchard, just one of these small fucking heaters.
Imagine if they put Pritchard in the G League. Dude. That'd be electric.
He'd fucking murder them all. I will also say the other thing I saw a Knicks person tweet, and it was funny and I wanted to share, is when the Celtics fourth quarter guys, like they made a like genuine run. Like they were brought it to within like nine with the shot in the air to kick it down to six. Like they were there. They outscored the Knicks 38-18 in the fourth quarter. Like they killed them. which look what happens when they actually try. Somebody on Knicks Twitter tweeted this fourth quarter. I think it was, I know his name too, and I can't think of it. Fourth quarter is Tom Thibodeau's biggest test. and I think Andrew Claudio, who you did the pregame with, quote tweeted and said, dude wanted to put Brunson back in so bad. Like, the dude, they got murdered in the fourth quarter. Like, Pritchard and Mikhailu and everybody, they were like genuinely like just splashing. Yeah, Sam Hauser, 12 fourth quarter points. Pritchard, 10. Mikhailu, 9. Like, they made 8 threes in the fourth quarter, 8 of 12. They were just splashing shit. It was like we were up on the ninth floor, like, wait a second. This would be the funniest thing ever.
So I, like, just did not see any of, like, the fun basketball today. Yeah, I gave myself the worst day ever. And it truly has been the worst day ever for me.
Did you watch the end of the main game?
No, not the very end.
They almost came back too, so you really did miss everything.
Yeah, I just had the worst day ever. I woke up, my finger's probably broken. I think I broke my finger yesterday. I was making food today. I burned myself twice. I finished Curb, so I don't have like a nice relief show to watch anymore. Work asked me to work, which was terrible. Celtics lost. Maine Celtics lost. And my finger's still probably broken. And pregame was half solo, which is whatever.
Say, yeah. Yeah, you pregame by yourself too. Tough. Yeah.
Maybe I won't be able to sleep tonight. Like, maybe I'll have like I'll just be nauseous all night or something. What you maybe, got next for me?
Maybe you go to the gym tomorrow and you'll get kicked out for a bomb threat.
There was another bomb threat today. I don't know if I'm gonna go to the gym tomorrow because I can't grip the weights. Look at this.
Tough.
Look at this finger.
Yeah, you're cooked, buddy. Good luck. See what happened to the Red Sox too.
Yeah, the Red Sox lost too. I mean, I kind of see how they lost. Yeah, they fumbled. they were terrible. They
brought the game into 10th inning, and then they allowed 2 home runs for a 6-run inning for the Orioles.
Fucking Celtics would do.
It's cooked, man. It's cooked. Anyways, any final thoughts, Sam, before we get out of here?
I want today to be over.
All right. Well, we'll make that happen for you. Appreciate y'all for tuning in. Make sure to leave a like on this video if you're watching on YouTube. Subscribe to that About Them Celtics YouTube channel. Follow us on Spotify and Apple Podcasts and leave us a 5-star review in both places. We'd appreciate it very much. And I will let Sam wrap it up.
Hey, thank you very much for listening or watching. If you're watching, make sure you subscribe to the YouTube channel. Hit the notification bell so you don't miss any of our daily uploads. We're coming at you with something new every day, Tuesday, Thursday, and Sunday. You'll have full pods the morning after games. You will have game recaps. So obviously now and tomorrow morning, you'll have another. And we have other content to fill the gaps. We're also live Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. So if you can't get enough of us, Talking Seas will be live later this morning, usually around 11 a.m. What do we got tomorrow? You got anything tomorrow? We're going to do 10 or 11?
Ooh, I don't think we have anything. So probably 11.
All right, 11. Usually around 11. We have Celts of the Roundtable on Tuesdays with the Celtic Avengers. That's usually around 6. It'll be 9 next week. I've just made the executive decision. It's going to be 9 p.m. Because we have a guest. And we're live a half hour before every single game for pregame. Those are a ton of fun. Come hang out. You can find us on Spotify and Apple, too. If you want the audio versions of the full pods and game recaps, you can follow us there and they'll go right to your feed. You can email us, hbtcpod@gmail.com. Send us your thoughts on this game. Send us your rat lists, whatever. You can find us on socials at How About Them Seas, Twitter, Instagram, TikTok. Our Facebook page is the name of the podcast. Our streams are there. They're on YouTube, and they are on Twitter. Jack's Twitter is @JackSimoneNBA. Mine is @SamLaFranceNBA. That's it for us. Check, tackle. Come on. Tackle. Tackle.